And good evening, and welcome to Outbeat Radio. My name is Greg Moralia. It is Sunday night, and if you're a first-time listener to Outbeat Radio does air every Sunday night at 8 p.m. here on KRCB. We offer four different programs each month. The first Sunday, you can listen to Sheraton Gold and Diana Grayer with Living Proof. The second Sunday of the month is our music show with Sun Bell. And on the third Sunday of the month, Gary Carnevale is here with Outbeat Collage. And this, of course, is the fourth Sunday of the month. We call it Outbeat Now, which includes the Outbeat Youth segment. And I'm Greg Moralia, and here with my co-hosts, Jeff Basham and Joel Bellagio.
Good evening, Greg.
Hello, Greg.
So what a great weekend, you guys, huh? The weather was incredible.
It sure was.
Amazing. Top down on my car the whole weekend. Great stuff.
Absolutely. I got out and took some photos and just had a good old time, got a little burned, and everything's good.
There you go.
So, Jeff, you were at the fundraiser yesterday for Sonoma County Pride, yeah?
I sure was. The fundraiser was at the Sonoma Nesting Company on Main Street in Guerneville, and had a wonderful showing there, raised a little bit over $1,000 for the Sonoma County Pride celebration.
Good job.
And that's raising money for some extra costs that we are incurring this year due to the number of people we are expecting to attend the celebration. That celebration is June 6th of 2010. And it will be on Main Street with a parade on Main Street in Guerneville. And then the contingency from the parade and all the spectators will make their way to the Guerneville Lodge, which is just a short distance away. And that's the old home of the Willows, if you're a local. And we'll be having an all-day celebration there and lots of great music and vendors and all kinds of great stuff, ending with a wonderful drag show.
It sounds like nothing but fun. And to let you know that KRCB's Outbeat Radio will be there.
We will.
We will,
yes.
Indeed. We
yes.
have already signed up for a booth, so we will be at the Pride Festival itself, and we'll also have a contingent in the parade. We haven't got a clue yet what that's going to look like, but we're working on it as quickly as we can, and we're planning on having a great time out there in the wonderful town of Guerneville.
Yes, yes. So we wanted to take a minute here and reflect on what Pride has been in the last few years and the changes that we've seen. And also, I think, Joel, you wanted to tell us a little bit about San Francisco Pride.
You so bet we did.
I'll let you go ahead and tell us about your early days of Pride, and then I'll jump in with mine at the end.
Okay, sounds like a deal. We used to have Pride in Santa Rosa when I first started on the Pride Committee, and we had half a street that we went down from the City Hall all the way down to the Junior College.
Now, half a street, what does that
happen on the Junior College? By yeah. half a street, I mean there was oncoming traffic on the other side of the street.
Really?
And you got to parade down one half of the street all the
oh,
way
no.
down. So it made for a real interesting time here in Santa Rosa. I always thought, that's a little strange, but that's how it worked. And then it moved from there, over to was gone for
it was
for
gone
a
for a couple
yep,
years yeah
a couple years there, and then moved over to Juilliard Park, I believe it was, mm-hmm. and then out to the LBC,
the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts,
right?
yes.
And if you remember it being the LBC,
yes,
before it was Wells Fargo.
certainly you know, everything's changing around
that's
here.
Right, exactly. But so. we used to think at that time, at any rate when I was working on it, that wouldn't it be great if we could have it out in Guerneville. That's always been kind of the center of the whole thing in the county, and to have it see it there now happening on and what appears to be a regular basis is just wonderful. It's a great place for it.
Absolutely. It's been in Guerneville last year, and this year will be the second year that it's in Guerneville, and I'm currently serving on the Pride Committee, and we're just totally delighted to have it out in Guerneville. We're just getting so much support from all the local businesses and all the residents in Guerneville. It's going to be a great day, and just a wonderful day to do a lot of Pride stuff, just to rejuvenate. I saw someone had posted the Pride Pride on Facebook, and they said that it was a reunion, and that really got me thinking. It is a reunion. It's a yearly reunion of all of us that, you know, may not see each other. So
it
come out
indeed.
To Pride, Guerneville, June 6th. Starts at 12 noon, high noon, with a parade. The festival starts at 1 and goes until, I think, 6 o'clock. So it's going to be all afternoon and then all kinds of events that night throughout Guerneville.
It's going to be great. And don't forget Pride Comedy Night. That comes up at the end of the whole event, if I remember correctly.
That's the next Saturday, June 13th.
Next Saturday, that's right. And Ellen and We Mean It Productions put that all together. And that is always a well-attended event and really a lot of fun. It's a great, great program. So I know I've got my seats for right front and center, but if you haven't got yours yet, you got to jump in there and get them quick because it's a great, great show.
Absolutely. So what do we have coming up tonight, Greg?
Well, tonight we're talking about the Day of Silence and all of the activities that went on this month on the 16th. We'll be talking with some young people about their experience and then also getting some perspectives from maybe some different generations on how they've been silenced, you know, throughout the years.
Great, great. And I put together a little montage of Day of Silence throughout the whole United States. And Joel has an extended news for us, and that's what we're going to hear now. So next up is Outbeat Radio News with Joel Bellagio.
This is Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio. In international news, the Constitutional Court in the country of Italy has rejected legal requests to have gay marriages recognized in two Italian cities. Couples in the northern cities of Venice and Trento had sought to have their city halls ordered to post formal marriage announcements for homosexual unions, as they do for heterosexual marriages. In considering the request, the court did not officially explain its ruling, but Italian news reports said that the judges maintained that it was up to lawmakers, not judges, to recognize gay marriage. Meanwhile, the Bolivian president, Evo Morales, was under fire for suggesting that eating hormone-injected chicken could provoke male deviance. Bolivia's opposition and homosexual groups criticized comments made by Morales at the First People's Conference on Climate Change, in which he said that chicken producers inject birds with female hormones, and when men eat those chickens, they experience deviance in being men. The Bolivian president also suggested that the European diet made men go bald. Spain's National Federation of Lesbians, Gays, Transsexuals, and Bisexuals sent a protest letter to the Bolivian Embassy of Madrid calling Morales' remarks homophobic. And in the United States, four finalists, including a gay priest, are in the running to be named the 11th bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Utah. California resident, the Reverend Michael Barlow, who married his partner, the Reverend Paul Burroughs, in San Francisco before the passage of Proposition 8, is among the four finalists to replace Bishop Carol Tanner Irish. The Utah Church's standing committee, which advises the bishop, has indicated that a gay bishop might push the conversation of gays in the churches forward. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, Barlow would join the Reverend Gene Robinson and the Reverend Mary DeGlasspool as the church's only openly gay bishops. An estate judge has overturned an Arkansas law banning unmarried couples living together from adopting and fostering children, saying the measure infringed on a person's right to privacy. The law effectively banned gays and lesbians from adopting or fostering children because they are unable to legally marry in Arkansas. Palouse County Circuit Court Judge Chris Piazza said in a two-page ruling that people in non-marital relationships are forced to choose between becoming a parent and sustaining that relationship. Piazza, a former prosecutor, agreed with claims by families who said the ban lessened the number of available adoptive and foster parents to the point where thousands of children could go without homes. And in other judicial news, senators have confirmed the judicial nomination of Marisa DiMeo, an openly lesbian candidate, to the D.C. Superior Court bench. Republicans opposed to DiMeo have blocked her confirmation since her March 2009 nomination by President Obama. DiMeo, a D.C. magistrate judge since 2007, has worked as a lobbyist and advocate for Hispanic causes. She also has a history of gay activism and holds membership in several groups that advocate for gay and lesbian rights, including the Human Rights Campaign and Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund. Meanwhile, in California, it is being reported that Republican lawmakers in Sacramento sponsored a resolution recently honoring the 100th year anniversary of the Boy Scouts. Democrats ultimately killed the resolution after criticizing the Boy Scouts for excluding homosexuals. Republicans became indignant and accused Democrats of defaming a cherished American institution. Democrats then introduced a resolution of their own honoring the Girl Scouts and including language that noted the organization does not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation. That drew yet more indignation from Republicans, with one GOP lawmaker accusing Democrats of improperly introducing sexuality into what should have been innocent proclamations of support for two iconic youth groups. The resolution, however, passed the 80-member House 48-4, with most Republicans abstaining. In the end, California honored the Girl Scouts, but not the Boy Scouts. The Girl Scout resolution now moves on to the California State Senate, fireworks to follow. And speaking of fireworks, California State Senator Roy Ashburn, a Bakersfield Republican, is the not-so-proud recipient of this year's Pink Brick Award. The annual Pink Brick Award winner, selected by San Francisco Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Celebration Committee, goes to the person or institution whose actions are deemed to have caused significant harm to the LGBT community, according to the group's website. Ashburn made headlines earlier this year when he was arrested for drunk driving. Reports that he spent the evening at a Sacramento gay bar spurred criticism about his sexual orientation. A few days later, Ashburn came out on a Bakersfield radio station. Ashburn boasts a record of voting against gay rights, something he said he will continue to do because it is what his constituents want. Last year's winner of the award was Carrie Prejean. And closer to home, according to a story posted on the National Center for Lesbian Rights website, a trial date has been set for July 16th in the Superior Court for the County of Sonoma in the case of Green versus County of Sonoma. The trial is reported to involve the tragic events in the case of Clay and his partner of 20 years, Harold, who lived in California. The couple had legal paperwork in place, wills, powers of attorney, and medical directives, all naming each other. Harold was 88 and in frail medical condition, but still living at home with Clay, 77, who was in good health. One evening, Harold fell down the front steps of their home and was taken to the hospital. According to the report, it would appear that even though the couple had medical directives in place, county and health care workers instead refused to allow Clay to see Harold in the hospital. The county then ultimately went one step further by isolating the couple from each other, placing the men in separate nursing homes. The county is further accused of representing to the judge that Clay was merely Harold's roommate. At some point, the county is accused of taking everything Harold and Clay owned and auctioning off all of their belongings. 3 months after he was hospitalized, Harold died in the nursing home. A local court-appointed attorney is now representing Clay in a lawsuit against the county, the auction company, and the nursing home, receiving technical assistance from the National Center for Lesbian Rights. And in a follow-up to this story, the county is defending its actions by pointing to the case as one of elder abuse. In 2008, after what was called a slip-and-fall accident, the elder of the couple was found to have bruises, and hospital employees alerted county officials to the possibility of elder abuse. The couple never registered as domestic partners. The surviving partner maintains there was no history of domestic abuse. And there you have it. This has been Outbeat Radio News. I'm Joel Bellagio.
It's a national event to raise awareness about the issues that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students, faculty, and other school community members face in their daily lives. The silence taken on by the participants is a replication of the silent oppression felt by LGBT people every day. But I know when they are forced to exist in an environment where their identities are frequently treated with ignorant ostracism rather than wholesome acceptance. Just imagine having to live a lie. Being unable to talk about your feelings about others, your interest in relationships, your actual relationships, and even who you are as a person. Imagine not being able to talk about your social life freely for fear of being cast out of school social circles. But on the day of silence, those great many who sympathize with their LGBT peers may show their solidarity in a way that will raise awareness throughout the school. And that's exactly what happened.
Please understand my reasons for not speaking today. I am participating in the Day of Silence, a national movement protesting the silence faced by lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people and their allies. My deliberate silence echoes that silence, which is caused by harassment, prejudice, and discrimination. I believe that ending the silence is the first step toward fighting these injustices. Think about the voices that you are not hearing today.
Every day, thousands of students are silenced. They are silenced by fear. They are silenced for being who they are. They are friends. They are classmates. They are brothers. They are sisters. They are gay. They are straight. They are you. They are me. They are silenced by anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender bullying and harassment. Hundreds of thousands of students will participate in the National Day of Silence, dedicated to the memory of Lawrence King, a 15-year-old from California who was shot and killed by a classmate while sitting in class. Friends say he was murdered because he was gay. Whoever they are, whatever their backgrounds or beliefs, these students will take action because they believe that the bullying and harassment must end.
Created an event on Facebook for the Day of Silence, and 110 people said they'd attend, meaning they'd participate. But the actual number was higher. We had about a quarter of the upper school keeping silent and wearing stickers that said, "I support LGBT rights," and showing their support for LGBT students at our school and everywhere else. This event was of significant importance to me for many reasons. Last year, I did a lot of the organization and planning, and we ended up with twice as many participants as the year before. But as luck would have it, I came down with something, and I missed school that day. This year, besides me not being sick, there was another difference. I'd come out. When I was about 15, I came out to myself as bisexual, realizing that the same-sex attractions I'd felt for a while were real, normal, and explainable. Within the next year, my parents and some of my friends knew, but I was still a bit confused as to why I didn't feel the same way about girls as I did about guys. And it took a fair amount of time for me to finally figure it out that I'm gay. I came out as gay just back in the fall of 2009, after I met someone at the Philadelphia Outfest. Initially, I held back regarding who I told, but in January, I changed my Facebook to say I was gay and in a relationship with the boy I'd met at Outfest. And I've never been happier. Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out, we can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out, we can work it out.
Yo, check out this chef, right? Right?
That's so gay.
That's really gay.
Dude, look at those pants.
Please don't say that.
What?
Don't say that something is gay when you mean that something is dumb or stupid. It's insulting. It's like if I thought this pepper shaker was stupid and I said, man, this pepper shaker is so 16-year-old boy with a cheesy mustache. When you say that's so gay, do you realize what you say? Knock it off.
On April 6th, 2009, Carl Walker Hoover took his life after enduring constant bullying, including anti-LGBT bullying. Though Carl did not identify as gay, his story is a tragic reminder that anti-LGBT bullying and harassment affects all people. Carl would have turned 12 on the 2009 Day of Silence.
This is Outbeat Radio host Greg Moralia. I started my career in law enforcement at the age of 15 back in 1978 and was silenced about who I really was until 2004 out of fear of being fired for being gay. Today in 2010, homophobia is still pervasive throughout the law enforcement profession and thousands of officers remain silent and closeted. Now we think cops are tough and able to handle the locker room banter, but the reality is no one should have to handle the kind of ridicule, rejection, and sometimes outright hatred that is dished out once a closeted officer is found out. The good news is more and more officers are coming out and giving up their so-called right to remain silent.
Evolution made you a bull dyke, not God.
Fag.
You're a f***ing queer.
You're an ugly dyke. And now, there's a special place for you in hell.
F***ing queer, I will kill you.
You're just doing it to get f***ing attention.
Every day, many in the LGBT community are bullied, name-called, and harassed. For being who they are.
For simply being themselves.
And it has to stop.
It has to stop.
And it has to stop.
The Day of Silence is a day to bring attention to the awful treatment that many of our community members receive.
And remind others of the voices that are often silenced by bullying and harassment.
At the end of the day, I hope you break the silence and share your stories, both negative and positive.
To start a dialogue that'll make others think twice about denying other people's right to be themselves.
The Day of Silence is not the end of the fight.
Whenever you see bullying taking place, don't turn away.
We cannot stay silent when we see others in our community being bullied and harassed.
Share your stories of bullying, harassment, confrontation, silence, and just simply being yourself in the face of resistance.
Hi guys, so as some of you might know, today is the Day of Silence, and I know that a lot of people feel really seriously about it, and I decided that I wasn't going to do it. And today at school, a lot of people ask me, like, why aren't you participating in the Day of Silence? I thought that you had pride or whatever. I feel like for me, at this point in my life, it's more important for me to speak out rather than stay silent. I know that the Day of Silence is supposed to symbolize or simulate what closeted people can't express and the frustration of having to keep everything inside, but just I personally feel like a day of not talking can't even compare to what they're going through. I'm not in that situation and I don't know what it's like. I just feel like I need to be honest with myself. I think that I can do my part more by speaking out rather than staying silent. And I also feel like, especially in school, it's becoming a kind of trend and people will stay silent for the school day and then completely break it when they go home. Or even like when they go to lunch, they start talking and some people make a game out of it, trying to mime things or write things or mouthing words that completely cheapens the purpose of it. At this point, there are very few true supporters. Now, this isn't to say that I discourage people participating in it, because if you feel passionately about it and you want to participate, I think that's great. I don't think it's a dumb idea. I just don't think that it works for me.
Dear parents, much of what we learn in this world
comes directly from you.
Whatever your message is, it will become part of us forever.
Please teach us to accept one another. Teach us to respect one another.
Please, do not fill our minds with hatred.
Do not expose us to bigotry.
do not teach us to judge each other
by race,
religion,
orientation,
or the color of our skin.
Teach us the concept of tolerance.
Teach us to understand one another.
Teach us to accept people
of different cultures
and persons with different beliefs than yours.
Please help us to create a world
where every man, woman, and child is treated equally.
Dear parents,
please don't teach us words of hate.
We learn from you every moment.
If you use a certain word
which might be hurtful to others,
we will repeat that word.
Please don't show us acts of hate.
If you act against people of different faiths,
we will repeat your actions.
Dear parents, we are your children,
and we are relying on you
to help us create a world where every person is tolerant of one another.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, 'cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my faith, the light, the darkness most fear.
A 15-year-old boy sat in his first period English class in Oxnard, California on February 12th. At 8:15 a.m., a 14-year-old walked into the computer lab and shot the 15-year-old twice in the head, and he died days later. His name was Lawrence King, and he went by Larry, and he was murdered for being gay. Larry King and I share more in common than just our names. We both believe that all students should be free to be themselves without the fear of name-calling, bullying, or harassment. Hundreds of thousands of students will take a vow of silence as part of the 12th annual National Day of Silence. They'll honor the memory of 15-year-old Larry King and the countless other students who have had their voices taken from them simply because of their sexual orientation or gender expression. Please join me in supporting the Day of Silence, because every student deserves to feel safe in school.
We're going to take a music break. The Outbeat Youth segment is next. But first, here's Simon and Garfunkel with The Sound of Silence.
While I was sleeping, and the vision
of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw
support for OutBeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care, serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. You'll find them on the web at afamd.com. KRCB Television's Travel, Leisure, and Wine Auction continues tonight on Channel 22. You could be the high bidder on a Sedona vacation, a wagon train excursion in Jackson Hole, or a three-night stay in Hawaii with airfare included. And of course, there are plenty of wines available for your bidding pleasure. Watch live or bid online at krcb.org. And also from St. Joseph Health System of Sonoma County, St. Joseph Health System understands there's more to you than can be found on a chart. By taking time to understand your life, the team at St. Joseph Health System is able to provide a whole new level of personalized care and comfort. More information can be found at stjosephhealth.org.
In the wells of silence, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed its warning in the words that it was for me. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls and whispered in the sun.
Hi, this is Outbeat host Greg Moralia. Come and listen to a preview of this May's Outbeat Extra, a special show about how gay and lesbian police officers are becoming more visible within the ranks of law enforcement. You'll be able to meet some of the officers interviewed for this special show, as well as members of the Outbeat Radio team. Join us at 4 p.m. on Saturday, May 15th at the A Different Light bookstore located at 489 Castro Street in San Francisco. See you there. And we're back live. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa. And the Outbeat Youth segment is next. Welcome to this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. I'm Greg Moralia. Outbeat Youth is a program for and about queer youth in the North Bay. Tonight, we begin with a youth profile of another amazing member of the LGBT community, Victor Ramos. I'm here at Positive Images tonight to introduce you to the Positive Images correspondent, Victor Ramos. Victor, welcome to Outbeat Youth.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about where you grew up and your coming out story?
Well, I was born here in Santa Rosa and lived here for quite a while. Up to first grade, I went to Mexico for 2 years, came back, didn't know any English, had to kind of, in like 2 months, relearn it all, but it all worked out. My coming out story, it's not that amazing, really. I've always known that I was gay, but I never really told anyone, yet I never kept it from people. If someone asked me whether I was gay or not, I would tell them that I was, but I didn't go around parading it.
So how old were you when you first got asked the question?
I think I was in middle school, like seventh grade.
Okay, so how did that go for you? What was the reaction from your peers in middle school?
They loved it. It was one of my girlfriends, and every teenage girl likes to have a gay friend, so I think it worked out for me. And then my guy friends were okay with it.
That's really great. Not everybody has that same story, you know, as you probably know. So where do you go to high school?
I go to Santa Rosa High School. I'm a junior right now, and I've had a good time there, especially since I got involved in FFA my freshman year. I loved it, and I've been a great active advocate for agriculture ever since.
Have you participated in any of the contests at the county fair?
Yeah, actually. This last summer, one of my pigs got champion Yorkshire. It was one of the 12 champions at fair. It was pretty exciting.
All right. Well, what happened to the pig after the fair?
I had to sell it, but I really wish I could have kept it. I don't like selling my animals. I miss them afterwards.
I bet that's pretty hard to do. So I understand you're involved with the Gay Straight Alliance at Santa Rosa High School. Tell us a little bit about that.
Our Gay Straight Alliance pretty much meets every week on Thursdays at lunch. At the beginning of the year, we had quite a big group, about 30 to 40 people. But then as the weeks went on, they kind of fell off the face of the earth and stopped going. But with the Day of Silence coming up, they started to come back, and they're really excited about this.
Now, wait a minute. 30 to 40 people, that sounds like a lot for the size of high school. Are these all gay and lesbian kids?
Not all of them. Some of them are straight allies, which is really cool. And actually, those straight allies still keep coming to the meetings.
That is really amazing. I mean, when I think back to my high school days, if you even were suspected of being gay, you were ridiculed and pummeled, and let alone have a club on campus and then a club for which your straight friends come to. It's really fantastic. So tell us, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I love hanging out with my friends. Actually, whenever I hang out with them, I usually go rollerblading. I love it. Do it on the weekends as much as I can. But with FFA and PI, most of my free time gets taken away, so it's kind of rare that I hang out with my friends, but I love doing it.
And what's in the future for you? What are your career plans, or college, or what's after high school?
After graduating from Santa Rosa, I want to go to the JC and be an ag ambassador there and be in their ag program. And after 2 years, I want to transfer over to UC Davis and pretty much study animal science or agriculture.
All right. Very good. How long have you been involved with Positive Images?
Since the October of 2009. So not that long, but ever since I joined PI, I pretty much jumped in with panels and committees and party planning committees. And also I'm helping plan the Hella Gay Prom, which is coming up May 8th.
So tell us all about the Hella Gay Prom on May 8th.
So the theme of Hellagate Prom 4 is a night of glamour. Pretty much come dressed in the most glamorous clothes that you can find. It's in Santa Rosa, West College Avenue, 1400 West College. And it's $17 pre-sale for tickets and $20 at the door. And Hellagate Prom 4 is a substance-free event, remember guys. And it's being sponsored by Positive Images.
So this is an annual event Positive Images has been doing for several years now, and it's a prom for gay, lesbian, transgender youth. Can a straight person come to this prom?
Definitely. We actually encourage straight allies to go to our dances to kind of just chill with us and hang out with us, but it's really a lot of fun. Anyone, gay or straight, would have a ton of fun.
And how old do you need to be to come to the prom?
The age ranges that Positive Images deals with are 12 to 25, and anywhere in between those lines is good.
Okay, so if you're someone who missed their prom in high school and you're under 25 years old, now's the time you can make it up. So you went to the prom last year. For someone who's never been, tell us what it's like.
It's really a lot of fun because sometimes in high school you feel like you're the only gay kid in your school, but then when you go to Hella Gay Prom, it's pretty much an eye-opener of how many other teens that feel just like you there are in the community. And you get to make really close relationships, and some of those people become your lifelong friends.
Well, so it's not a matter, you don't have to be part of a gay straight alliance at your high school. You don't have to be a member of Positive Images. All you have to be is someone who wants to go and have a great time and meet some new friends.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Well, we've been talking with Victor Ramos, who is the Positive Images correspondent for Outbeat Youth, and you can rest assured that Victor will be a regular part of this show. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Now, if you'd like more information on this year's Hella Gay Prom, scheduled for Saturday, May 8th, go to the Positive Images website at www.posimages.org. And you can also email them for information at hellagayprom@gmail.com or simply call the office at 707-568-5830. Now here's Junior with this month's movie review.
This is Junior Vega with your movie review of the month. My one and only. The film set in the 50s, it begins in New York when Anne Devereaux, played by Renee Zellweger, returns home one afternoon and finds her husband, played by Kevin Bacon, in bed with another woman. After catching her husband, Anne packs up her two boys, George and his older stepbrother, Robbie. They hit the road to Boston in their flashy new Cadillac. From Boston to Pittsburgh, from St. Louis, and finally to L.A., the flaky Anne gets cheated, robbed, and heartbroken by a series of poor choices for husband material. As she tries vainly to be a mother and a magnetic lover and cling to her lost youth in the process, whenever things went sour, she packs the boys up and moves to another town. All the mom wants is security, all George wants is a normal life, all Robbie wants is a movie career. Once they land in Hollywood, mom finds work as an extra in a movie western and charms the director into auditioning Robbie for the role of a cowboy. Then the film unravels and takes off for the three. Everyone in the film does an amazing job, very entertaining. I give it an A. The film is rated PG-13, runs for approximately 120 minutes, and is available to buy or rent. This is Junior Vega, and that's the wrap.
If you or a friend are feeling lost and alone, there is someone who can help.
The Trevor Helpline is a free and confidential service that's open 24/7 for gay and questioning youth.
Trained counselors offer hope and someone to talk to without judgment.
Call 1-866-4-U-TREVOR
or visit the website at thetrevorhelpline.org.
There is hope. There is help.
Be proud of who you are.
The Trevor Project, saving young lives.
We're going to continue now with our theme and discussion tonight about the Day of Silence. This month, I asked listeners and fans to write in about how they have been silenced at home, school, or work. And here are a couple of the responses we received. Mark from Santa Rosa writes, "I know who I am, but I am kept silent from telling others. If I broke my silence, I know I'd be kicked out of the house, beat up at school, and would have nowhere to go. There are other gay kids at our school, but I'm just afraid." JT from Sonoma said, "I'm silenced at school because people say bad stuff about gay people all the time. I've even heard it from teachers." And David, a college student from Petaluma, wrote, "I'm out, and I don't think being silent is the way to make people think differently about sexuality. On the Day of Silence this year, I'm going to talk about being gay with at least one person I've never talked to." This month, I had the opportunity to check in with Positive Images at their regular Thursday night meeting the night before this year's Day of Silence. I asked some of the members about their plans for the Day of Silence and how in their own lives they've been silenced. Here are what a few of them had to say.
I'm Bree. I'm the Positive Images intern. And tomorrow, I do not have school, so for the Day of Silence, I'm going to be wearing a T-shirt that says Day of Silence 2010, and on the back it says, "Hate made me silent, but love made me proud that God made me gay."
My name is Victor. I'm co-facilitator for Positive Images. RGSA is planning on not talking, and we have little info cards if people ask us why we're not.
Hi, my name is Andy Dahl. As far as my history of silence, I've never been silenced, and I haven't let myself be silenced. And for the Day of Silence, I'm going to do the hardest thing I can possibly imagine, which is not talk all day.
Hi, my name is Heather. The only time I've been silenced is when I'm at home. My mom's boyfriend doesn't know I'm gay, so I have to stay silent and like not talk about anything like that, which is kind of hard because my mom knows.
My name is Marcos, and tomorrow I'm going to be silent on the internet.
I'm Aiden. I'm a co-facilitator at Positive Images and Fear Counselor, and I've been silenced by health insurance companies when they say that surgeries can't be covered by for trans people. I've been silenced by the DSM Volume 4 that says gender identity disorder is a mental disorder.
Hi, I'm Jazzy Lane. I've been a member of Positive Images for almost 4 years now, and I will be silent, and I will be wearing something so outrageous that I will be speaking with those colors.
So why in 2010 do we still need a day of silence? Aren't there gay straight alliances at most high schools? Didn't I read recently that the average young person comes out at age 14? Well, these are just a few of the questions I've heard in my own discussions with people about homophobia. And the reality is that despite our progress, homophobia is still killing young people. In fact, if you remember, just 2 years ago in Oxnard, California, before the day of silence in 2008, Lawrence King, an eighth grader, was shot in the head by a classmate after beginning to express his gender differently and telling the boy that he liked him. On April 6th of 2009, just last year, Carl Walker Hoover took his own life after enduring constant bullying, including anti-LGBT bullying. Though Carl did not identify as gay, his story is tragic, and it's a reminder that anti-LGBT bullying and harassment affects all students. Carl would have turned 12 on the day of silence last year. And this year, we saw a high school in the South cancel the prom simply because a girl, a student, wanted to wear a tux and bring her girlfriend to the dance. One of the visual demonstrations you may have seen this year on the day of silence involves the No Hate campaign. You've probably seen their professional photos with various celebrities posting with N-O-H-8 written on their face and silver duct tape over their mouth. I talked with the founders of this clever campaign, Adam Bushka and his partner Jeff Parsley, to find out more about how this campaign came about. Adam, welcome to Outbeat Youth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. We're really thankful to be on the program.
Great. So why don't we start out telling us a little bit about how the No Hate idea came about and who was involved in putting this campaign together?
The No Hate campaign was started by myself and my partner Jeff Parsley, initially after the passage of Proposition 8 in 2008 here in California. It was kind of our way to speak out to the community after we took part in the rallies. We wanted to kind of lend a message to the cause using a photo, using a visual. We saw people using victim of hate logos online, but we wanted a way to lend a face to the cause. And this is an easy way for people to replace their social network photos and say a lot without having to actually say anything.
Well, it's definitely a powerful message for sure. So as this idea evolved, what were some of your initial hopes for the organization you wanted to create and then the website?
Well, initially, we never intended it to be an organization. It was just our reaction to what was going on. So it was just something that was started in our apartment with some friends and some close family. But beyond that, it started to grow. And after a year and a half, now we've created an organization that we're hoping to take to an international scope. We've been hoping to take this idea and travel city to city and hold open photo shoots and kind of take these photos for people that they can help spread the message.
Now, you came into this with some prior skills. I was reading online this morning that you're a photographer by profession, right?
Correct. I had a photography studio up in North Hollywood before that happened to work out. Now we use that as a organization headquarters, but essentially, I was working a lot as a photographer, so lending a message to a cause or trying to speak out through images was always something I tried to do.
Now, how do you select who gets their picture taken and featured on the website?
Each photo is kind of selected around what makes the person look their best and kind of focuses on what sends the best message. We like to pick ones that people are looking into the camera. And you can see their eyes and you can kind of have that emotion. I mean, everyone has a different personality, so it's trying to show that individual characteristic through each person.
So you've brought in people off the street, obviously some of your friends, I'm sure, are involved. And I noticed that there's a number of famous people who've participated in the campaign.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been crazy because the amount of support it's been getting is really overwhelming. And it really started out at a grassroots level, but it really works with like the 6 degrees of separation, whereas one person sees it and then their friends will see it and they want to get involved and it spreads in that respect. And same goes with celebrities.
So who are some of the people, the famous people that the listeners would know that you're most proud of having on the site?
Cindy McCain is a recent addition to the campaign, and I thought she was an impressive one, and I think her photo stands for a lot. We've had a variety of celebrities join the campaign. Ashley Simpson, Pete Wentz, Mark Hoppus, Fran Drescher, Dr. Drew, Michael Emerson, Kathy Griffin. It's been a variety of different people. The amount of support's really been overwhelming.
It really sounds that way.
Al recently come in with his family.
And so they see these pictures and they contact you, or do you have some outreach to...
Initially, it was more outreach, and we always try to reach out. We're always constantly looking for influential people in different communities. But it's definitely grown to the fact that they've been contacting us a lot more.
Sure. Well, I'm sure also by seeing people like Cindy McCain, that's got to be the picture that has, or the person that surprised you the most.
Definitely, definitely. I think she helps us gain support from all sorts of people.
Well, it certainly got a lot of exposure as well. So how can a member of the queer youth community get involved and get their no hate picture taken?
Well, right now we're trying to figure out ways to host more open photo shoots. We're visiting different cities. We just recently did a big open photo shoot on the 1st of February in New York, and we photographed over 500 people in a matter of 5 hours. But it was kind of testing the waters because we're kind of trying to plan a tour with it all. Right now on Twitter, our newsletter on our website, we post our updates as to where we're going as far as where we're going to host open photo shoots. But that's, we'll post more information about that. But otherwise, on our website, we're going to be listing other ways to get involved. I know there's other rallies coming up and other dates and other events to go to. Oh, and of course, the Day of Silence. There's all sorts of other calendar of events coming up. So I'd say check the website and see what's coming up next.
So you mentioned the tour with the pictures just a moment ago. Tell us a little bit more about that.
The tour is an upcoming plan that we have to visit city to city and host open photo shoots. And kind of take the idea that we kind of spawned here in L.A. and take the idea to other cities and just kind of spread the message that it's not a California issue and it can be something that can happen anywhere. So we need to kind of protect our rights, speak out while we can.
Okay. And are you looking for cities that are interested in hosting you, or do you already have that laid out?
Definitely. We're always looking for people to reach out, and we're looking for other cities to come to. So, I mean, if anyone's interested in helping us come to their city, please send us a proposal or send us an email. We'd love to get involved.
Okay. Well, Jeff, let's spend a little bit of time with you. Why don't you start out by telling us, how would you like to see young people use their no hate photos?
I just think the photos, you know, it gives the youth a platform that they can use to their advantage, talk to people, to educate people, to raise the awareness. You know, that photo, just by posting that photo, say, on your Facebook as your default on Facebook, somebody's going to ask about it or comment on it, which creates dialogue, which is good. The more we're talking about it, the more people won't forget it, and that's what we want to see with the photos.
Great. So it's real simple. They could print that out, or they could put it on MySpace, Facebook, any social networking site, and I think you're right. It does communicate a great deal just by being there.
It gives the people, the younger people, a platform to create the dialogue, and that's what we hope that they take full advantage of, that platform that we're all trying to create for each other.
Well, certainly showing up to school in the Day of Silence with, you know, the no hate tattoo on your face and some duct tape across your mouth would certainly get other people talking about it, wouldn't it?
Sure would. And I think that's great that DSAs want to use the No Hate campaign to express themselves, and that's exactly why we created the campaign.
Tell us a little bit more about your vision for the future of the No Hate campaign and how people can support your cause.
You can support the cause just by talking about it. Just by, you know, if you inform one person about it and the issue at hand, that's supporting. It doesn't take much just to talk to somebody and tell them how you feel and try to make people see that we're all human and we all should be treated equally.
We've been talking with Adam Bushka and Jeff Parshley from the No Hate campaign. Adam and Jeff, thanks for being with us on Outbeat Youth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like more information about the No Hate campaign, you can visit their website at noh8campaign.org. You can also find a link on tonight's show notes on our own website at outbeatyouth.com. That's it for this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. Remember, you can always listen and download previous shows on iTunes as well as on our website at outbeatyouth.com. We invite you to stay connected with us all month long on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Hey, and don't forget, join us on Saturday, May 15th at a Different Light bookstore in the Castro for our special preview event. We'll be there from 4 p.m. until 5 p.m., and I'd love to meet you in person. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month. Well, Jeff, that looks like it wraps up another hour of Outbeat Radio.
It certainly does, and we want to remind our listeners that next week you can join Living Proof hosts Sheridan Gold and Diana Dreyer talking about mothers and Mother's Day and mothers that may not come to your mind who have served the mother role. So that's next week at 8 p.m. here on KRCB FM 91 for Outbeat Radio Living Proof.
And we'll be back on the 4th Sunday of May. We're going to be doing a special tribute in honor of National Law Enforcement Month. We'll be talking with some local law enforcement officials who happen to belong to the LGBT community.
Absolutely. It'll be a wonderful show, a wonderful intro for our Outbeat Extra show, which we've plugged a couple other times. But again, it is the 5th Sunday for Outbeat Extra, and we'll be doing Outbeat Comes Out from Behind the Badge.
Great. All right, Jeff. Well, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks, Drake.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Advanced Fertility Associates Medical Group, providing comprehensive fertility care to men, women, and couples wishing to expand their families. Advanced technology, old-fashioned care, serving Santa Rosa and the North Bay for 25 years. You'll find them on the web at afamd.com. And from the 21st Annual GEM Fair, Friday, April 30th through Saturday, May 2nd at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Gemstones, jewelry, and more, with over 80 international exhibitors. Visitors can create jewelry while attending the Gem Fair University. Gem Fair hours and information can be found at gemfair.com. And from Huntington Learning Center, where every child can learn to succeed in school.